Ricky, what's the point in having a fence? Why?
It's late autumn, and we're taking you now to meet a woman who admits a serious addiction. Natalie Tolchard loves her dahlias. She and her husband Zoltan took on this three-quarter hectare plot of land near Clive and Hawke's Bay 4 years ago. They started off with sheep, then thought about trees, and then they hit on the idea of growing dahlias for the cut flower market. And now Natalie has hundreds of varieties.
I mean, look at it. It's just, it has reverse petals, so the petals go towards the back. They bend backwards, so it's an orange dahlia. And this one also is a new one for me, so it doesn't have a name on it yet. But it grows outward like a normal decorative wood, but then the petals start reversing backwards on itself and you get that arcing at the back.
It's a bit of a show-off dahlia, isn't it?
It's my kind of dahlia.
You cut them long.
Mm-hmm. It's four vases, so I cut them at least 30 centimetres. A lot of them are the focal flower that you would use in your arrangement. So you get a lot also that are sitting at the back, you know, helping to support the bouquet. But dahlias generally are the stars in anything you do. Yeah, I can't imagine how they ever went out of fashion.
They're sort of got an image a little bit of being, no offence to grannies, but a granny's flower.
Oh, they do. And I think they actually used to be referred to as a poor man's rose, I think, or something like that. They do. A lot of people at the farmers markets will say, oh, my grandmother used to grow them. And I don't know that there are many of us who don't know someone that grew them. My grandmother grew them. Although I don't really remember them that well, except for the smell turned me off. It doesn't do that now as an adult, but as a child I just like, oh, they don't smell very nice. The stem is where the smell is.
Oh, yeah, I can smell that.
I think herbaceous. To my nose it was very, very strong.
They make up for it with the colour and the look.
Yeah, absolutely. And the form. So many forms. You've got cactuses.
The cactuses are the spikier ones.
The spiky-looking, spidery ones. And then you've got decorative, that we've just talked about, the orange one. And then you have the ball varieties and palms and water lilies. There are so many. I can't think of any other flower that has that range of form and colour. And we've got new ones coming through all the time with breeders that do a lot of crossbreeding with seed and,
You wouldn't know it, but Natalie is fairly new to the business and passion of dahlia growing. But she did spend more than a year researching and doing the numbers. She trained as a teacher, worked in health and safety, even driven a digger.
Yeah, I like to be in the garden.
Is this a retirement job for you?
No, there's nothing about this job that says retirement. It is full on, and when I'm in this season, I actually am working constantly, and that includes at night when I go inside and I actually manage to have a shower and eat. I'll then turn on the computer and start that side of the work. So it's a long time. However, you know, you've got to find all these things out. I think part of being in business is knowing all of the ins and outs of your business and knowing what it takes, how many hours it takes to do the work, so that if you do in the future make enough money to employ people, you know what their tasks are and the processes. So
you already employ one person?
I do.
Are you going to be employing more?
I will be, definitely.
So it's a worthwhile business for
it
you?
It is, but it has to make money as well. So this year's focus is on making finished products. So right now I've completed a calendar. I've also got workshops coming up in September, which are selling out, and I have three of those. And it's looking like I might need a couple more. So for my September month is actually going to be full. So
you also do tours. You have
I do.
People coming to look at the dahlias?
Yes, we had two large groups of 30 people. Yeah, the ladies do tend to swoon when they go down the rows. They get told where they can and cannot place their feet, such as in my weedy garden beds. And as long as they stay away from those areas, they're fine. But they stand in groups and they just swoon. I do it myself, privately.
You also say this is a wonderful place for mental health.
Oh, it is. People that come in, they just get lost. They're in the present moment. You know, they're focusing on what they are standing in front of. A lot of times we have a lot of chit-chat going on in our heads, and flowers take you away from that, and they keep you rooted in the now. So I think for mental health, that's got to be the best thing.
I'm here near the end of the dahlia season, and the blooms are on their last legs. Some of them are big, fat and plumpy, and others small and dainty. How many varieties have you got growing here,
Natalie? So we've got around 130 varieties.
In this one paddock?
In this one paddock. It was 7,000 square metres, and we only occupy four dahlias, the last maybe half of that. So 3.5 is what I'd use for my business activity. While we have these 16 metres, I've got 230 buckets as well at the back, which also house new dahlias that come in. So I segregate them out, and they've come from sources that I don't know.
So is there a risk of disease?
There is. You do get leaf gall and you get crown gall.
So and that damages the bloom, does it?
It does, so it will actually compromise how much bloom you get off a tuber. So they're in there, just waiting until the season ends, and then I can check to see whether they've been compromised, and then they will find themselves in the 16 metre beds where I'm going to take out certain ones that I don't think are good. And by that I mean they may not be good for as a cut flower, or they may be too large, and people just, while they like large flowers, they just wouldn't do well in a vase, and they look good as a plant, a garden plant, as opposed to a cut flower, and I'm about cut flowers at the moment.
You have to have a good eye, and I suppose you're always critically looking over these flowers to see which ones are going to be good for you.
Yeah, that's a good observation. It definitely is how I work. During the season, I'll be picking for the markets, and it's a good indicator about what people like, the farmers' markets, what they actually like as a cut flower. Although you get some ladies that just love the big ones. They won't have anything but the big ones. However, florists want a certain other type of flower. So there are long stems they prefer. They prefer slightly ball-shaped ones, which keep longer than other larger blousy flowers, like the Winds Moonlight Sonata over there.
Those are the salmon pink ones, which have
salmon pink, yeah.
And they're all sort of, as you say, blousy. So
blousy,
droopy, and very sort of florid, almost, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And as you can see on the plant right now, they're falling over. The weight of the head of the flower is so large that the stem can't hold it up. And ladies like that. There's a mathematical terminology called the Fibonacci sequence, where you have repeating patterns and tessellations and things like that. And dahlias, they're a prime example of how it works in nature. They have repeating patterns all around.
Contributes to how perfect it looks, really, doesn't it?
It does, especially with an aphid.
Oh yes,
That time of the year.
What do you do about the pests?
So they just need a spray. I don't do a lot of spraying, so I use a lot of natural where I can try to source it. If you're in a home garden, I would just use hot water in a spray bottle with dishwashing liquid, spray the undersides of the leaves as well as the tops, and give them a squirt with a hose. And I think that's the easiest way to get rid of it.
But you do have a lot of bees.
I have a load of bees and bumbles. I love them, and we have a lot of photos of them. And you sometimes get carried away by the wildlife. Also, my cats and dog come out, and they're all in the garden beds, as well as the chickens, and they're helpful, though. The chickens are very helpful. They just take all the any other pests that we might have.
Natalie also sells the dahlia tubers, so we're just going into the shed to see where she divides and stores them.
Oh, wow.
We're looking at a table full of tubers, aren't
Absolutely.
We?
Absolutely.
Masses and masses of them.
In bread crates. So I have a supplier who gives me bread crates that are just a little bit broken, or there's something wrong with them, or they're non-compliant and can't be held in the supermarket. And so I get them and then I reuse them. within the dahlia world, seeds won't give you the true form of the parent that you took it from. You'll get a myriad of other things that'll pop up, so it's very potluck. However, if you were to take cuttings, or if you were to plant a tuber, they will give you the true to form of the parent that you took it from.
And of course you can split the tubers and then gain more.
You certainly can.
At what stage of the growth of the plant do you do that?
So as soon as the season is finished, we get the first frosts again. Then we can lift them. If you wanted, you can leave them in the ground if your climate and your area and your soil actually allows for them to be left in the ground.
When do you do the splitting?
So the splitting I would do at the end of autumn, or when the first frost comes, and I'm taking all of those tubers out of the garden that I don't want. Then I would split them up into maybe sets of four, depending on whether I think there are eyes. It's a bit hard in autumn to decide whether there are eyes. So you have a dahlia is comprised or makes up is made up of a tuber, a neck, and a piece of crown. And on the crown you have what are called eyes, and the eyes are where you get the stems that produce the flowers for you. So when we lift them at this time of the year, sometimes you can't see the eyes on some varieties, so they're better to be left as a clump. And then in the September, you'll start seeing them form. They'll be forming because the weather is starting to get warmer, and they'll start to form, and that's when you can probably divide them into smaller pieces or smaller clumps,
and then transplant them into different beds.
That's right. We also call them chicken legs. So if you wanted to go quite hard on your separating, you would cut them into either clumps or chicken legs.
Why are they called chicken legs?
They look like a drumstick. That's what
makes sense.
Yeah. If I take that off, was it? That was attached to the...
You've got to have good eyesight for this.
You do.
Because you do. That's quite hard to see.
It is, and you get used to it. You do get used to what they look like, but that's a possible eye. And that would be it on that tuber, but that's viable, and that's for sale.
Natalie, how did you learn all this stuff?
I think it's like anything. If you really want to know, you source the information. I guess I'm just a researcher born. I don't know, but...
Did you spend a lot of time beforehand? How long?
A year to 2 years, but I was sold on the idea in the beginning, mainly because they were just so beautiful, and there was a possibility that I could make a return off it. And so when I did some numbers on that, I could see there was quite a bit of money to be made in the first year, and that was really what... And then I allowed myself to become addicted, and now I have to actually make money to satisfy my addiction. That's exactly how it has turned out. And the worst part about it is I belong to a wonderful Facebook group called New Zealand Dahlia Growers, and they're just as bad as I am. And there's a lot of people, and wonderful people, wonderful resource for anyone on your station network listening that would like to actually learn about dahlias.
The chooks are still with us as we head back out to what used to be just a scrappy bit of land, and the dahlias, even this late in the season, are still a feast for the eyes.
Such a beautiful flower. Sorry. I love my job. I'm sorry, I get lost in it.
And Natalie's not the only one.
We've got a lot of people in New Zealand who are bringing them in from overseas, so they're importing them from America or from England or wherever they can, and thank goodness MPI haven't jumped on board and said, no, you can't bring those in.
So there is a trend, and there is a fashion, there is a desire for dahlias.
Oh my gosh, is there something? It's chronic. If we were in a store, say, like Black Friday, and you know how the customers all barge and try and get to the products before the others, that's what it would be like, only it's online, and we... right now, as opposed to 3 years ago. I have to work out a strategy to buy online now because it's that hard.
They get snapped up.
It's taken my husband about a year to get used to it, but I gave him a task. I needed him to buy into my dream. So I gave him a task to purchase last year, and I don't know if I did the right thing. A year, $3,000 later, I have another 230 dahlias.
Is he going to help you plant them?
He actually knows all he knows. He helps me plant. He helps me do a lot of stuff. So he bought in really badly. And we're both addicted now.
What about the future, Natalie? What's going to happen in future with the business?
Yeah, so we only had a 7 to 10 year plan, and it's looking like we're staying. So we were originally contemplating getting the house to a stage where it was going to be saleable and the backyard, and we love what we're doing. So we've actually purchased a bus, which is going to be used as a bus in the dahlias, and you can come and stay at some stage. However, that's a project for maybe in another 2 years. Sleep with the dahlias.
What a beautiful
yeah,
thought.
I think so. I think it would be, yeah.
Imagine waking up and seeing that sea of colour.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? I could do that.
Natalie Tolchard at her dahlia farm near Clive in Hawke's Bay. She's also looking at a side hustle in ranunculus and tamarillos. If you know a farmer or grower with a passion like Natalie's, do let us know. We'd love to meet them.